We're going to talk about primary and secondary legislation in the Scottish Parliament and the UK Parliament and some of the differences between them. So we know that primary legislation, that's acts of the Scottish Parliament, are invalid if they are in conflict with the Human Rights Act or EU law or outside of the powers of the Scottish Parliament. How does that differ from how UK Parliament primary legislation is treated?
Well, the main difference to the UK Parliament legislation is that a court cannot strike down UK primary legislation as invalid, which they can with Scottish legislation. With the UK or Westminster legislation, it can only be declared incompatible by the court. It's then up to the UK or Westminster Parliament to review it.
So that's if it's in conflict with the Human Rights Act. In terms of EU law, how does it work?
The same applies to EU law until Brexit. After Brexit, there's a provision in the Great Repeal Bill, which is actually the European Union Withdrawal Bill, Section 11. Under that section, the Scottish Parliament cannot pass any legislation which is incompatible with retained EU legislation by the Westminster Parliament. So there's not only a problem with the status of primary legislation, it's the volume of secondary legislation that I think we should examine. The volume of secondary legislation, what we call delegated legislation, has increased over the years. So what problems has this caused?
Well, in the first instance, primarily in the UK Parliament, there's an issue of scrutiny. A lot of delegated legislation, this is legislation under a parent act, but that's passed by ministers, is laid before Parliament, but there's too much of it for Parliament to really scrutinise properly. So the increasing volume of delegated legislation means that a lot of it is passed without proper parliamentary scrutiny.
So for example, I think there was 11,000 pieces of secondary legislation passed 2 years ago. With the coming of the EU withdrawal, there's going to have to be 14,000 pieces of secondary legislation that have to be scrutinised. So there's a time problem, isn't there?
There's a time problem, absolutely, and time in terms of the amount of time before a withdrawal comes into play, and also time just in terms of the parliamentary calendar, in terms of squeezing things into the day.
It's impossible for Parliament to scrutinise that legislation, but we're told Parliament is supreme or sovereign. So is there an inconsistency there, do you think?
Part of parliamentary sovereignty has to be about the principle of transparency, of good government, of people being able to see and understand Parliament acting out its supremacy, I suppose. And if it can't properly scrutinise delegated legislation, that may be one thing if it's something as simple as a commencement order, i.e. a minister stating when an act comes into force. But if it's something much more significant or important, like a Henry VIII clause, then, which we might need more of, according to the so-called Great Repeal Bill, then it tends to start to sort of erode away at Parliament's ability to exercise its sovereignty over all legislative matters. I mean, perhaps you can say a bit more about the scope of some of the sort of delegated legislation that we might be talking about here.
Well, we've mentioned that there's going to be 14,000 pieces of EU legislation that's going to become delegated legislation. But also the problem in scope is that with a Henry VIII power in the hands of a minister, so by that we mean a power of a minister to change primary legislation without Parliament scrutinising what he's doing, several questions arise, don't they? Has he done it properly? Who drafts that secondary legislation? It's not a parliamentary draftsman. It could be just a civil servant. So I think as members of the public, we can't always assume that legislation is valid. And so going back to our first point, it means that the court in the UK, as in Scotland, has power to scrutinise secondary legislation, and in both cases, they can strike it down if it's not valid.
Yeah, absolutely. The difficulty there is that takes time and happens obviously after the fact, whereas it would be good to have a more effective scrutiny procedure perhaps in advance. And I think we see that a bit more in the Scottish Parliament. Is there more scrutiny of delegated legislation through the Scottish Parliament?
The Scottish Parliament, I think there is more scrutiny in the fact that every piece of legislation in the Scottish Parliament has to go back to be considered by a committee, whereas in Westminster, that's much more of an ad hoc basis. Some goes back to committee, some goes to the House of Lords, that's the only scrutiny. But of course, the reason in the Scottish Parliament this happens, it's a unicameral parliament, there's only one legislative body, so the committees have a very important role in scrutinising.
And I think in the UK Parliament, it's certainly true that there's different types of delegated legislation, and quite a lot of it doesn't even end up before Parliament to be scrutinised.
But we still have the fundamental problem that more of our laws are secondary legislation than primary legislation. And it's up to the citizen to ensure that they can track what laws apply in any situation and not assume that the law is always correct if it's secondary legislation.
And it's much more difficult to do so with secondary legislation. It's much more opaque, much more difficult to find, much more difficult to comprehend to some extent.
And of course, if you're in Scotland, you have to look not only at the Scottish acts, whether they're secondary or primary, but you almost look at the acts from Westminster because they could also apply to Scotland. So you have different levels and hierarchies of law.